Now, really, this would be a genuine emergency.
Incredible!
At least in my pathetic life. Imagine my shock and my horror today when I thought, you know what? It's time to get a haircut. It's time to get a nice-looking haircut. A haircut starting to look a little bit like David Cassidy on the Partridge Family. Come on, you know it is.
Yeah, it's a little shaggy.
It's getting that kind of
poof. You got kind of a poofy thing in the front.
Yeah, I couldn't do a thing with it.
Little pompadour. Right?
I thought you were going for that.
It's like a Michael Landon thing.
I thought you were going to grow it out ever since we went to the Wayne Newton show.
Yeah. Las Vegas pompadour.
Well, I'm just incredibly lazy, and I don't like going to get my haircut. But, you know, I got this card at a haircuttery.
Right. You can go to any haircuttery anywhere, right? Don't you get your haircut for free?
Yes. Well, this is the problem. I have lost my card.
Oh.
And not only that, I lost the letter with the guy's name on it. So what I did was, I am pathetic. I picked up the telephone and called the corporate headquarters.
Sure.
Of the haircuttery.
Yes.
Today.
Hello, Linda.
I swear to God I did.
You don't know me, but
and I said,
in Sacramento?
Yeah, right, in Sacramento. And I said, excuse me, what's the name of the president of the company? You know, and they said, Judge Reinhold.
It's where all those corporate headquarters are, the haircuttery, the coffee beanery.
Yes. And I said, may I speak to him, please? Hold on. I got put through to some other level, and it was like, you know, like anybody, I'm asking for the president of a company or right. whoever they farmed me off to at their main offices. And I started to tell the woman, I said, I don't really know the guy's name, but I do a radio show, and he sent me a letter, and he sent me a card, a gold card, and I could get my haircut anywhere for free. And only like 8 people have these, and I lost
my... I believe his last name was Wonka.
The golden ticket.
I said...
William wants.
I said, like, only 8 people in the world have these things. And she said, hold, please. And I thought, oh, now I'm getting somewhere.
Yeah.
And she comes back on the phone and she says, is this a joke? And I said, no, ma'am. And she said, well, I've asked around the office and I've never heard of such a card.
Oh, sure.
And I said, now listen, this is easily explained. I went through the same thing the first couple of times I used the card.
Did you say at any time during the conversation, hold on, missy?
they didn't believe it.
Right.
And anyway, she ended up just telling me, you know, just basically screw off and enjoy my day.
That's sad.
And anyway, if the guy from the haircuttery is listening.
Well, he's obviously a higher up in the haircuttery.
That was simply, or if anybody from the haircuttery is listening. Mm-hmm. I need a replacement card.
I remember the day you came in with a list of people that were on the gold ticket list.
There was only 7 of them.
7 lucky winners.
I'm something of a famous radio announcer, and I have a golden ticket. It allows me not to wait in line and get free haircuts for life.
It does. Yeah. It does, really, and I've lost the card.
Yeah.
Are you appealing for just the card, or do you need somebody to cut your hair?
Oh, no, I mean,
I know sometimes when the laziness would really get to you, me too, you'd actually have someone come in and cut your hair.
Oh, no,
and then for the longest time, Kong used to cut your hair.
Oh, now listen, that was years ago. Years ago. No. I would, I'll go get a haircut. I mean, I can get a goddamn haircut. That's not a problem.
You've been up and down the pike? It's pretty amazing. I mean, it's like every other strip mall has a hair place in it.
But I really would like that haircuttery thing.
Yeah,
oh, if for no other reason. I really liked showing it off.
The exclusivity of it.
What was it made of? Is it plastic?
It looked like a credit card.
Real gold.
Looked like a credit card. And it was, made out of solid gold,
that's
Buzz.
That's right. With a chocolate core.
With a chocolate core, yes. It was edible.
Do you think you left it at a haircuttery or you just, no idea?
The last time I got my haircut was like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was one day I was just like cleaning out my wallet going, this is good, this is no good, this is good, this is no good. And now it's gone.
You know, sometimes I hate the fact that my hair grows so fast. I wish I was more like Rob.
Hey, go on. Now listen.
I drove past, and I looked at it, and I thought, boy, whew, 15 whole dollars?
Yeah.
You know what?
Not today.
Not today.
Well, let's be clear here. It's not the fact that you don't want to pay. It's that you want also the quality of the haircuttery. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for the quality of the hair, the consistency of the hair.
Right. Now, hold on. You can bust balls here. Mm-hmm. But really, I maintain, and I gotta watch this, because one of my closest friends is one of the fancy schmancy, owns one of these places down in Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the place where Frida used to go.
Right.
Really, and you would mortgage your house, you know, to go there and get your hair done. You got to wait 3 months for an appointment. Mm-hmm. I mean, a guy like that he would be offended by me saying this, but the truth is I could come home with a haircut and say to Frida, you know, where do you think I got my haircut today? Do you think I got a cut with our friend? I'll use the name Emerald.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you think I went to Emerald's?
Bam!
Or do you think I went to the haircuttery? And
she wouldn't be able to tell?
She would quite often say, oh, well, you had to have gone to the haircuttery because there's no way you would drive all the way down to Georgetown. Mm-hmm. You know, like so she'd say, haircuttery all the way. Mm-hmm. She'd look at it all the way and say, hey, fooled you. Had a meeting downtown today.
I would say you went to the fancy place, except for that one part of your head that looks like you reenacted a scene from Jackass, the movie.
I think really the haircuttery gets a bad, bad rap.
Yeah, I think any place is as good as the person whose chair
That's
you are
right.
in.
I will tell you, really, in the last 5 years, the absolute drop-dead best haircut I ever got was in the airport in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota. They have an actual barber shop there.
Cool.
A real friggin' barber shop.
Mm-hmm. We could put one here.
And if you've got like an hour in between flights, why not?
Right.
They do that thing where they do the straight razor on the back of your neck, mm-hmm. and you leave and you go, wow.
You know, if we found, we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Thanks. There's 6 guys here.
Right.
We could have barber day. We could have barber day where a lady comes in and we all
know. No.
It's just another one of my ideas being in the new place, you know, just something to be just
no
to shake
thanks,
it up
Mike.
And be fun.
Oh, that'd be exciting radio.
No, no, it wouldn't have to be on the radio. It would just be like we'd have somebody come in and hear and cut our hair.
A hairdresser receptionist combination.
Well, I've given up that.
Oh,
that was
okay.
A silly day.
Well,
that was like that was me trying
salary.
To adjust to the. No, I mean we just come in and we spit for like $10 per haircut.
Hold on, yes, Joe Artinger.
I need a haircut. I was going to use the dog shears, but my wife wouldn't let me.
See, Joe needs a haircut. You need a haircut. Rob always needs a haircut because he has that flat top.
I have a lady from the Orient. Her name is Lou, and she's magnificent.
Buzz, do you need a haircut? You
look like I'm set. I have
set?
A good haircut.
Would you get your haircut if somebody came in here?
Maybe.
Lou does color, too.
Methinks vanity. He's not going to get
his
haircut.
No, I have somebody I've been with for a very long time.
Buzz, whoever, if Mike's dream came true and someone did come down to do our
if
hair.
If my dream came true, we would have everything done here.
This
surgery.
This person would be able to.
Routine.
To keep what we like to call the Ronnie Reagan secret.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I see what you're
saying.
You know,
black shoe polish.
There's no reason why we can't.
Look at Buzz's hair. Buzz's hair looks like Superman's hair.
We could get a stylist and a colorist.
Superman's hair is jet black, dark as 1,000 midnights, and it's got that one little curly cue. And it's got a little blue on it, and that's exactly the type of hair that Buzz has.
I got a sick puppy at my house today. You know what the puppy ate today?
What?
Got up on the counter and ate my Just for Men beard coloring.
Oh.
And immediately began to throw it up. I'm glad the puppy's still alive.
Yeah.
Because that's real bad stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, that's that stuff that colors your hair. All white dog. I'm gonna come home tonight. It's going to look like a Newfoundland.
Yes.
It's going to be no,
brown.
But seriously, the dog for some reason is attracted to that product. I mean, there's a lot of crap up there. There's toothpaste. There's everything, and he got into the hair coloring.
Maybe because he associates it with you.
I don't know. Rob.
That might be.
I just don't know.
The dog looks younger though, right?
Fortunately, I was not in the house when this happened. Carla told me the dog ate it, and almost as soon as he got into it. He started throwing it back up.
Well, doesn't mean that some of it couldn't have gotten into his stomach.
Yeah, you know, we'll find out. If his hair color changes over the weekend, I'll let you know.
What you should do is yell at him and say, can't you read this is just for men, not for dogs.
I should have said that.
Hello there. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, Mike Buzz, how you guys doing?
Howdy.
Hey, do you think Kramer still has that original TV set he took from Mike Douglas or what?
One of the greatest episodes of Jerry Seinfeld.
It was Merv's set, though.
Yeah.
That's right. It wasn't Mike Douglas. It was Merv.
He's right, but still one of the greatest episodes ever.
My favorite.
Hey, one other thing about the Barber Day.
Seinfeld, yeah.
May I suggest July 14th?
July 14th.
Why?
Rob.
That's Bastille Day.
There you go.
I don't get it.
Don't get carried away with the haircuts.
Oh, because of the chopping of the head.
That's a beheading joke.
All right, well, listen,
you know, that was a great idea I had. Now, because of this call, now they're not going to let it happen.
That was a great idea you had.
I love the idea. You'd love it. You'd love Barber Day, where we have I could make it happen. I'd take the responsibility. I wouldn't pay for everybody's haircut.
Okay.
But I'd make sure that the person came out here, and I could arrange to have, like, a really qualified person come out here.
That's okay.
Maybe a fetching qualified person.
I'm with you.
We could do it in March. It could be Barber Arbor Day.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, Radio Gods. Good afternoon.
Hi there.
Hey, I just wanted to say thanks a lot for sticking to your roots on the radio, and I'm glad for your new studios, and I'm glad you guys aren't going to cable. And just remember, I listen to learn, I learn to listen, and lesbians taste like chicken.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
You know, he rehearsed that. And
you know why I like that? Because it was heartfelt.
Yeah.
I think he was a barber.
He wanted to get it right.
I want a female stylist, not a barber.
Don and Mike show. You want a female stylist, all right.
I don't want some Italian man in a smock,
you know what you want?
Coming up here.
He cut it the hair.
You want. You want.
Everybody leaving happy on Barber Day?
Just a trim.
I mean, it's about time we had some visitors.
I remember 1978?
1978.
Okay. I'm working in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. Indiana, WNDE, and just horny as hell. And I can't do anything on the telephones, and I can't go meet anybody. And one of the DJs told me, maybe I've told this before, one of the DJs said, have you gone to that place by that car wash out mm-hmm. off, you know, whatever this road is? I said, no, he said, it's a massage parlor. And
right.
I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, get my drift, it's not really a massage parlor.
Right.
It's like you go in and, you know, you lay down and it's handy time.
Uh-huh.
And I said,
handy.
You know,
very
said,
handy.
He said, and if you want more, you know, you pay more.
Right.
So I immediately jumped in my car.
Right.
And drove into just the worst part of Indianapolis. You know, and I dare you to pick the worst part of Indianapolis. But
yeah, right.
but it was
especially
the worst
now,
part.
Yeah.
Well, and really walk through those curtains that are made of beads.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they give you the atmosphere.
I still have
walk
them.
Into this place, and it's like loaded with everybody from Full Metal Jacket. All the chicks are Oriental.
Right.
There's a couple of black chicks there.
Right.
And everybody.
This is in Indianapolis?
In Indianapolis, Indiana, 1978. And I had never been in a place like this. I walked in. One of the girls came over and said, hi, how are you? And I said, I'm
turn.
Fine. And she took me to the grossest room I have ever been in. It had bad 70s Brady Bunch paneling on the walls.
Right.
There were like six of these rooms. And there was just like a curtain in front of each of the doors.
The kind of walls that if you like leaned on them, you'd push them clean over.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, and there's like not a doctor's bed, but like that metal, that big metal thing that you jump on to get examined at the doctor's office.
Table.
That's
exam
there
table.
With a little mat.
Was it really like an exam table?
Yeah, with like a little mat on top of it. They had these in every single room. And, you know, she said, get ready and I'll be right back. Now, I had just no idea.
How do you get ready?
So I just sat there.
Were you a wide-eyed youth?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely. I mean,
is this like a scene from one of those Neil Simon movies?
I'd been around.
Mm-hmm.
I'd gotten my share by now.
Okay.
Right.
I was 20 years old, mind you, but I'd never actually been to this place, and it was pretty gross. And she came back in the room, and she just had her robe on, and she said, you know, something like, "What are you doing with your clothes on?" And I'm like, oh, right.
Sorry.
So I started to take my clothes off, and I realize as I'm taking my clothes off, it's like, where am I? What exactly am I doing?
Where do I begin?
I really didn't know what was going on.
Right.
And
I bet after a while you knew what was going on.
Oh, immediately. She went right over. She had like her little table
right.
with a towel mm-hmm. and some lotion.
Right.
And she said,
you know, whenever
way
you tell
when,
these stories, you should tell them like you should tell them in the voice of Gene Simmons.
Slowly.
My towel mysteriously fell to the floor.
No, I was, I said, what are we looking at here? And she said, you know, she gave me the rights.
Right.
And I said, okay,
yeah.
You know, I'll take value meal number two.
Mm-hmm.
And,
did you get a haircut during this?
Climbed up on the table
mm-hmm.
and, we were done. And I gave her the money that she had said, and she said, "How about it? You know, normally you tip."
Uh-huh.
And you know, I went, ooh, I don't have any more.
Were you doing that when you didn't have your clothes on? Were you pounding your pockets?
No, like, I was putting
no pockets.
You know, I don't know. It's so long ago. I don't know. I was putting
right.
my clothes on, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I said to her, "You were great. I'll come back. I promise you, I will come back. And, you know, I walked out and I thought, ha ha. I'm never going back there again.
Oh, you burned another bridge.
So I go back to the radio station the next day, and I talk to the guy that recommended this to me, the disco dentist, Chuck Crane.
Oh, him.
And he said, yeah. I said, Jesus, that's so skanky. I was so scared. God, I'd never go there again, never in a million years. I mean, it was, I would rather not have sex. That's creepy. I was afraid, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing my show that very night. No BS, end of the show. Get a call from Chuck Geiger, another one of the DJs. He says, hey, we're going out tonight. Do you want to come by? I say, sure. He says, okay, we'll meet you at X spot. So I get done with my shift at 6 o'clock in the evening. Met these guys, and they said, first things first, we're all going to Big Buddha Mama's Kama Sutra. And I was like,
the DJs loved it.
I was like, oh, God. And the thought that I was
going. They didn't have ATMs in those days.
No.
Did they?
And the thought that I was going there, we were all going to ride in one car.
So did the station have trade there or something?
No, it was. So we got there, and I didn't want to tell them that I had just been there the night before.
Yeah.
Your worst fear would be you walk in and they go, hey, back again.
Because the only guy that knew that I had been there the night before was the disco dentist who was on the air at the time.
Right.
He did 6 to 10 p.m., right? So we walk in the joint, and the very first thing I see is the woman,
yes.
the common whore who had serviced me the night before, who immediately walked through the door and said, oh, you came back with my tip. Nobody ever comes back with my tip. Right away, I'm standing there with
the other guys are looking at you.
With these guys, and I said, yes, I did. And I reached in my pocket, pulled whatever it was, $5, right? You know, that's for you. I told you I would come back.
I'm a man of my word.
I told you I would.
Mr. Scholarship winner.
I told you I would.
Danny. Man.
And then I.
Suki.
And then I sat in the waiting area and waited for the other guys.
Because you were out of money.
Well, and also because at that point they were like, you were here?
I was just here.
Yeah, but I'm not interested tonight.
That's what I said. I said, you guys go ahead. Now, talk about feeling awkward.
Yeah. How long did you have to wait? Did you sit in the place?
Yes. I sat out.
Jesus.
I sat in this little dingy, waiting room.
Wasn't it interesting, though?
With the...
Buzz. Was it like a trip through the erotic museum?
Yeah, with the whore secretary that would sit there, you know, and guys would come in and girls would come out, and it was like, you know, I'm just sitting there wearing, I believe
in,
I was...
In the heartland of America.
Yes.
I may have been wearing a satin jacket at the time. I really might have.
There you go.
I want to say it could have been something cool like Bob Seger, but
the
it could
look
have,
that says innocence.
It could have been a Bee Gees jacket.
With really big hair, I imagine, too, right?
Yeah.
Like everybody had.
Bigger than today.
Super big hair.
But I think that's the only time I ever paid for sex.
Right.
That's the only time I ever paid for sex.
Right.
Now, why you go like that? Why you go?
I said right.
No, but your face indicated you. I said that's the only time I ever paid for sex. And you
right.
You went right, like, and you did that thing where you bite your lower lip and you nod your head like.
Mm-hmm. What would that facial expression communicate to you?
That I have paid for sex other times.
I don't know how you read it that way. That's not the way I intended it.
He said with a knowing look.
Really, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. And me with you either, Mike. Me with you either.
Have no idea.
And is not marriage the ultimate price to pay for sex?
I think you could look at it that way.
I mean, that's
like I've heard many men say that type of thing.
Like a mortgage that never ends.
As soon as you
ends.
Walk down that aisle, you're really paying for it. You start paying for it at that point.
It's a lease agreement.
Sure. But that was so long ago. And then, no, you know what? Hold on. I take it back.
Really?
Yeah, I paid for it again.
What does it matter?
With Bruce Bissen.
Okay.
Over by WPGC.
Right.
Over there at that...
What did he charge?
No. I don't think he meant that.
Wasn't that... That was Shadow, wasn't it?
Yeah, Shadow Stevens. His real name was Bruce Bissen. This place over, Jesus Christ, by New Carrollton, Maryland...
That's a nice place.
Like in a warehouse area?
Yeah, of course.
There was like an after-hours nightclub that opened up at 2 in the afternoon. So, yeah, I did it then, too. I did it then, too. What are you writing down? What are you writing down? I dare you.
No, no, rather not.
I dare you.
Just writing you some notes.
I know you are. I dare you.
No. No, no, no.
Come on.
No, no.
Come on, Mike.
No, don't.
Come on. Share. Share with the class.
No.
I'm sharing, you share.
No need.
You share.
No need.
No, but as a matter of fact, gosh, it's too bad Jim Elliott's not on the show today, because I'm sure he remembers that we all used to go over to, I think they called it at the time, what did they call a gym back in like 1980?
A gym?
Club? Yeah. Club? Yeah. A health. Thank you, Buzz.
This is like Buzz with a question mark. Health club?
It was something in the brochure for the museum.
It was something like the New Carrollton Health Club. And yeah, I went there a couple of times.
In PG County.
I went there a couple of times, too. Yep.
Was it cleaner?
Oh, much cleaner.
Oh, that's good.
And they knew who we were.
Of course they did.
They knew who we were.
So the Indianapolis place would be the dingiest one.
Yeah, and actually the other one, well, I don't know how many of these guys are still married, anyway, we would go and they'd know who we were.
Right.
You know. Oh, hey, hi.
That had to be a little strange.
Nice. I heard you last night. Yes, thank you.
And, that had to be a little weird.
And, you know, it would be like, would you like a drink? I'd say, no, that's okay. And, you know, Bruce would take a beer and sit there and start chatting with him. And
he was kind of a cool guy.
Meanwhile, you know. The
kind
other
of
guy,
a cool hedonist.
The other guy, Dave, would be standing there smoking his little Tipperillos, whatever they were. You know, big, bushy, welcome back, Cotter, afro.
Right.
You know, three of us stand there like cool guys.
Mm-hmm.
So am I the only one that's ever paid for sex?
No. We've talked about this before. I have once as well.
How about you, Rob? I don't remember. I mean, I know we've discussed it, but I don't know if we've gone this in depth. Mike?
I don't believe I have, no. No, don't really believe I have.
No tattoo.
No. No tattoo.
You're so innocent.
I am. I am. Unlike my sodium pentothal spewing friend across the console, and
that's good.
And that's yeah. That wait, hold on. You know what? Hold on a second.
What?
Let me think. Hold on a second.
You gonna remember something?
Nope. Nothing's coming up.
Nothing comes to mind. All right.
So to speak.
Very good.
Now I'm out. Don't have any memory of that.
Okay.
None whatsoever.
You're lost.
I have no recollection of that, Your Honor.
No. To the best of my knowledge, no.
Good.
There you go. To the best of my knowledge, no.
The witness may step down.
Yes, you know my memory.
Oh, those were the days. God damn, those were the days.
The days of the health.
Sunny days.
Yeah. Good times.
Sunnier days.
Good times. Got a break. We'll be right back.